CBS Mornings on this Tuesday, my favorite day of the week. I'm Gail Kaye.
I'm Tony DeCoppo.
And I'm Vladimir Tietze.
Ahead on today's CBS Mornings on the Go, we continue our powerful series. We're calling it Facing Fertility with Nikki Batiz, who takes a look into the pros and cons of freezing eggs and why age in this case really does matter. Also, Ted Lasso star Tohib Jamot takes Anthony to his old school in London, where the Emmy-nominated actor honed his soccer skills and, lucky for us, fell in love with acting. And actor D.B. Woodside is here today to talk about his latest role in the political thriller, and The Night Agent is what it's called, and why this role is so personal for him. He is so good in it. And what does D.B. stand for anyway? All that and more after these messages. Hey, hey, Prime members, talking to you. You can listen to CBS Mornings on the Go ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
This spring, if you'd rather spend time enjoying your lawn instead of trying to keep it alive, there's good news. TruGreen is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and even some things you might not even think of. They'll do all of it, while you can do literally anything else. With True Green, you could have your lawn looking as good as a putting green. That's not hyperbole. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. True Green offers a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people guaranteed.
Welcome back to CBS Mornings, where we have got a story for you. Earlier this month, 35-year-old Sheldon Thomas walked out of a Brooklyn, New York courtroom free after almost two decades behind bars. Thomas was arrested back in 2004 for murder after an eyewitness pointed to a picture of a guy named Sheldon Thomas in a police lineup of photos. But the man in the image was actually a different person entirely, happened to have the same name. And as we step through the circles of absurdity here, that guy also had no link to the case. Nevertheless, prosecutors continued to focus on the Sheldon Thomas they had in custody, which eventually led to his wrongful conviction. Thomas talked to our Lily Luciano just days after his release in his very first TV interview.
I waited for this my whole life.
Sheldon Thomas was 16 when police took down the door of his home and locked him up. Now, 19 years later, he's been effectively exonerated.
What's been hard about just being out and about? It's been so little time.
Just like what you said, being out and about, adjusting, being around people.
Thomas was convicted for second-degree murder in the December 2004 death of a 14-year-old boy in Brooklyn. Attorneys William Kasten and Leslie Ressinger have worked with Thomas for more than a decade. They say the case should have never even made it to trial.
How much of his case was based on lies?
100%. From the police interaction to him, every party failed him in the system.
In a pretrial hearing, a detective lied, then admitted to lying on the stand, and the case still moved forward.
He is arrested based on a photo that is not his.
The people involved in decision-making refused to accept the fact that a mistake was made. How can a jury reach a fair verdict? Mm-hmm. It was rigged from the start.
The unit that reviewed his case after years of failed appeals concluded that Thomas was denied due process at every stage and found one of the detectives involved had been harassing Thomas after a prior arrest and lied about knowing him.
Did you ever feel like they were targeting you specifically?
Most definitely.
It should have been the other way around. You're innocent until proven guilty.
From my lenses, the way I see life, it's always like that for people like me. For people that look like me, it's always like that. You're guilty until you actually prove that you're innocent.
Nearly two decades later, he finally stepped into what still feels like a mirage of freedom.
I haven't even cried yet since I've been home. Like, I haven't even got to the point where it actually hit me. I still have dreams about being in prison. I'm scared to go to sleep. As the days go by, it dawns on me a little bit more.
Mr. Thomas' motion to vacate his judgment of conviction is granted.
At a hearing this month, Thomas shared how his hope was sustained for so long by releasing resentment.
When I was sentenced, Del Judas said that I deserve to spend the rest of my life in prison. He was wrong. I didn't deserve what happened, and I forgive him. I know I've lost 20 years already, but ultimately I prevail. I don't like losing, so I have to let go because I don't want that to be what defines me as a human, as a person. I want love to define me.
Sheldon says he can't sleep because he's afraid that he's going to wake up and it was all a dream. He can't sleep because of the other inmates he met up in Attica who he believes are there innocent. Mm-hmm. We reached out to the detective that we mentioned in this case who was involved in the original arrest, and he said he did not want to comment. You know, here's one thing that the attorney told me. When you commit a crime and you serve your sentence, when you walk out, there is resources, there is assistance. Mm-hmm. For him, they just open the door and you're on your own.
So he gets no assistance whatsoever.
Nothing right now. He's relying on his elderly mother who's working a second shift to support him and on crowdfunding that his attorney set up.
Yeah.
And eventually, perhaps he may sue and maybe he'll win, but he's not ready for that. Right now, he's just focusing.
And what's it like for him to be around people?
Well, that's what he was saying. Around he said, people. We were walking around Central Park, and he said, when you're in prison, the only time you get outside, you're in the yard. And if somebody gets close to you,
it's not a good thing.
It's not a good thing. Yeah. You're going to get attacked. So he feels like that self-preservation means isolation. And even with his family, he says, I feel so bad because they reach out to me and I just need the solitude.
Yes. I hope he will allow himself a good cry. He certainly deserves and needs that. But I marvel that he can sit here today after the injustice that happened to him and say, I forgive them.
I
would still need help on that.
Yeah.
I want love to define.
Yeah, he's going to need a lot of, you know, therapy. And we talked so much. I wish I could share everything. But he did. I asked him, what got you through it? And he said, Viktor Frankl's book, A Man's Search for Meaning.
One of the greatest books ever.
He read it over and over. And he read about this man in a concentration camp. And he said, well, at least that's not this. And if he can get through it, and all those lessons got him
through. That book's incredible.
Powerful story. It is. He's an amazing human being.
Yeah.
Incredible grace and pressure. Lillia, thank
you. Most inspired person I've met in my life.
Wow.
I get that. I'm
saying a lot, because you've met a lot of people.
Yes.
Lillia, thank you very much.
For part two of our series, Facing Fertility, we're going to take a look at a procedure that's growing in popularity, egg freezing. Research shows that a woman's age when she freezes her eggs and how many she actually freezes makes a big difference in whether she will have a baby. A study from NYU Langone, and we're going to have a lot of numbers here, so listen with both ears, shows the average age of a woman who freezes her eggs is around 38. Her chance of a live birth from those eggs is 39%. The odds improve for women who freeze more eggs at a younger age. Nikki Batiste shows us one Chicago woman's experience with a procedure.
I know that I want kids one day, but I don't know how it's going to happen or when.
Erin Hanley decided to freeze her eggs in the fall of 2020. She was 33 years old.
I always wanted to have options so that I could make a choice later.
I'm really excited to have this be over.
Hanley took us on her journey with her.
What if I'm doing it wrong? I'm not, but like, what if I was?
Through videos she recorded during the process.
It's a huge needle.
Egg freezing involves about 2 weeks of hormone shots to stimulate the follicles in a woman's ovaries. Each follicle typically releases one egg. The shots are usually done at home.
That first night you come home, you have to give yourself shots. How are you feeling?
Mm-hmm. Very nervous. You kind of mix your own solutions too in your shots. And so I laid them all out, had them on my counter, and then I had a friend here and I was like, why don't you film me?
One, two.
All the way. Push it, push it, push it, push it, push it, push it, push it.
Heading in to my appointment on Friday.
Throughout, Hanley went to the doctor for blood work and ultrasounds to monitor her progress.
They've gotten bigger since yesterday.
They have. So this one's about 18 and a half millimeters, so you still got some time.
Yeah.
You're feeling okay?
The first couple days I felt fine. I was getting really tired by day four probably, and then also really bloated. You get very bloated.
It's like this weird belly
Once the eggs are big enough, a procedure is done to retrieve them. Typically, around 80% of the eggs are mature enough to be frozen.
They retrieved 20, and then they end up freezing 14.
The eggs can later be thawed and fertilized in an effort to make embryos. On average, only 30% become viable embryos, but not all lead to pregnancy.
Whenever you're freezing eggs, you always have to remember that 14 eggs will not equate to 14 babies.
Dr. Rachel McConnell is a reproductive endocrinologist at Columbia Fertility Center in New York City. She's not Hanley's doctor, but was given permission to review her medical records.
With her being 33 years of age and freezing at least 14 eggs that are mature, she has probably about an 80% chance of at least having one live birth from that group of eggs.
For women of all ages, the live birth efficiency from frozen eggs is 4%. In general, this means 25 frozen eggs will yield one live birth. That's according to an NYU study published last year. Dr. McConnell says women should start thinking about their reproductive health at an early age, and doctors should start educating patients at age 25.
There are techniques and there are tests that they can even do to be able to have some idea what their egg reserve is like.
Did your OBGYN ever talk to you about the option of egg freezing or about family planning at all?
No, actually. It's always been interesting to me that they don't talk to you about it. In fact, they send you to a specialist.
Did you have any reservations about the process?
Oh, yes. I think there's a lot of reservations about it. First, the cost. It's a lot, especially if you don't have insurance to pay for things.
Egg freezing can cost anywhere from $5,000 to $10,000 a cycle. But despite the high cost, more women are choosing to make this expensive and at times very uncomfortable investment. In 2020, more than 12,000 women froze their eggs, nearly double from 2016.
How much hope were you given that freezing your eggs would lead to someday having a baby?
I think it was definitely hope because it's better than not having it at all. I do think you don't know until you go in there either how your eggs are going to be. Are they viable? I don't know. So that was a concern for me, that I would actually go through this whole thing and then nothing happened after.
The purpose of the hormone shots we saw Erin give herself was to stimulate as many follicles in her ovaries as possible. The follicles then produce the eggs for retrieval. While Erin got 14 eggs, some women might not produce any, and others may get 20 or 30. It depends on the woman's body and how it responds to the shots.
So good you're even having this conversation, because I don't recall it even being an option back in the day. So I think it's good that you're talking about it and that women can know, if you haven't met the right one, that, you know, you can take precautions, you can take steps.
And plan. Starting earlier is better.
Yes, always earlier.
Yes. 14 eggs does not mean 14 babies. That's
and Vlad, if you had to, cute. You would be able to wield that needle.
Yes, he
Vlad was not
that bad, Vlad.
Nikki, we thank you. Tomorrow in our Facing Fertility series, a candid conversation on menopause. We talk with our friend Drew Barrymore about our experiences with menopause and some of the biggest misconceptions. It's a really interesting conversation. You're watching CBS Mornings.
More from this episode of CBS Mornings after this short break.
Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
June's Journey is a fascinating hidden object mystery gaming app where you'll play as June Parker, tasked with a daunting obligation: solve your sister's murder. Set in the 1920s, the era of glitz and glam, this family mystery is one for the ages. Everyone's a suspect until your investigation determines otherwise. The clues are all around you, hidden within tricky twists and turns. You'll collect detailed information about each character in your photo album where you'll comb over every detail. You can even join a detectives club to chat and play with others or against them in the detectives league. With hundreds of puzzles to solve, you should probably get started today. Discover your inner detective when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android.
Right now. So crazy, it's 8:30 in the morning, and welcome back to CBS Morning. Time to bring you the stories that are talk of the table this morning. And eeny, meeny, miny, moe, yep. Vlad's going to go first.
Okay.
I got pole position. My talk of the table is this year's World Happiness Report and its list of the happiest countries. Now, I want to break down what the key factors are that researchers are looking at when it comes to deciding which country ranks high. Healthy life expectancy.
Like that.
Average income.
Good.
Social support.
Important.
Low corruption.
Don't like it.
Well, that can
and
be frustrating.
We don't like corruption.
Yeah. No, we don't.
We like having low corruption.
Yeah, yes. We don't like corruption.
Exactly. And this one I love. Communities where people have the freedom to make life decisions and look after each other, and where people look after each other. I want to stress that.
Friendly. So where do we need to go?
And America is ranked number one.
That's right.
No, America is not ranked number one. For the sixth year in a row, Finland is the happiest country
I've
in
never
the
been
world.
Finland.
Yes, Finland. And more Nordic countries take up the top spots. Denmark and Iceland in second and third place. If you're wondering, do you want to know where we rank?
I do want to know. Are we in the top 10?
We are not in the top 10, Gail.
Okay.
America came in 15. I know.
We have some work to do.
We have a little bit of work to do. If you look at the countries that are in the top 10, they include Israel. We know Israel very well. I live there.
I question that.
Wait, Tony, Israel's a wonderful
They're in like
place
to live. Week nine of hundreds of thousands of people fighting for the future of the country. It's a pretty they seem happy. They seem happy.
They seem happy. Netherlands, Sweden, Norway, Switzerland, Luxembourg. I've lived in Luxembourg. It is a very happy place, a wonderful country to live, and New Zealand.
Okay. I want to go there, too. All of your Israeli friends are calling you.
I know. Your Israeli friends are...
It's not...
You're right. There are issues,
It doesn't strike me. It's a war zone half
the
time.
They're in the top 10, though.
Yeah, okay. Good for them. Okay. All right. We cover a lot of important issues on this show, and I'm very proud of that work. But sometimes the algorithm that is me... are you going to...
Yeah, it's just great. Your deadpan delivery always gets me.
It's a country I know. Anyway... where was I? My talk of the table, sometimes the algorithm that is me serves up just something that is a nice break in your morning. Just the perfect, best bear scratching its back video that I've actually ever seen on the internet. So let's just roll it and I'll give you some. Look at the hip
action. There's nothing to be said.
I mean, what more can you say?
Oh my, what?
Bear's a better dancer than I am. God.
My favorite is the head, because the head is sort of like, back and forth. Look at his head.
That is some animal pleasure right there. That is just pure animal pleasure.
He's got his hand, his little paw.
It is some kind of pleasure.
That is,
I'll say that.
Oh, God.
I need to find that tree. Okay. Bye. Glad to come back. We're not done here. We're not done.
All right. What do you have, Gail?
My talk of the table, speaking of happiest countries, I think Jordan should have been on the list. Why? Because Oprah and I just went there last week. These are some of the pictures. Normally, people share their vacation pictures and they're boring. I think these are very interesting. There were camels. We went to Petra. Petra, guys, is an amazing place. That's where India, you probably know this. But where Indiana Jones,
yes,
the big boulder was in Petra.
Petra.
Yeah, in Petra. It is run, don't walk to go see Petra. We went to Wadi Rum. We went to the place where Jesus was baptized. And then we were in the Dead Sea taking, you can't go to the Dead Sea without getting a mud bath.
A mud bath, yes. Yeah. Yes.
So, of course, had to do that.
Let's
that
see.
Video.
How's it feel, Gail?
It feels great. It does. It feels great. I do wish it wasn't raining, but it feels great.
Huh?
We're in the Dead Sea, people. You have to do it. Kat, could you please get a shot of Oprah's Dead Sea experience? What are you feeling?
Hi.
How are you feeling, Oprah?
Man, I decided to do it.
I have a facial at 2:30. I'm going to be moseying on back. I'm getting my purse wet.
I
How cold is it?
It is amazing, though, guys. Yes. It's amazing. You really cannot drown in the Dead Sea.
The people of Jordan were so
amazing.
You weren't familiar with Petra.
No, I wasn't.
Yeah.
I know you probably know all about Petra. I didn't.
I mean,
and it's one of the seventh wonders of the world.
That's right.
Yes.
Gail, Oprah's Dead Sea experience reminds me of your Nickelodeon Slime Time.
Oh, that's right, with the umbrella.
Where everybody is into it except for you.
Yes. It was. You know, people on the internet are so mean. People said, well, you know the reason why Oprah didn't get in the Dead Sea. She probably has hemorrhoids, and hemorrhoids aren't good in the Dead Sea. I can tell you.
What?
She does not have hemorrhoids.
That is a.
She does
it's,
not
it's
have hemorrhoids.
It's very salty, but it does burn, I will say.
No, she does not. She does not have
hemorrhoids. I'm not her doctor. So.
But she had planned to go, but then it started pouring rain. The rest of us, Derek and Giselle and I, we all said we're going, and it was great. It was great. It is salty, and it does burn.
Yeah.
You're right. You're right. John Tower just said, Gail, please, we keep going now. Turning now to our next guest. I'll bet he can't wait to come out to the table.
He wants to come out here at this table.
D.B. Woodside has left the building. No, he's still here. He's known for his roles in the hit TV shows Lucifer, Suits, and 24. In his new TV show, it's called The Night Agent. It is so good. He plays Secret Service agent Eric Monks, who's returning to the job after a long hiatus. In one scene, he tells his team leader the truth about why he was away for so long after taking a bullet for the president.
I know you're an addict. I know they forced you into rehab. And I know that if you were anyone other than the boss's old partner, they'd never have put your back on in detail. Did I miss anything?
No, you're mostly right. Getting shot, that started me on painkillers. It wouldn't look good to have me wash out, so they said if I stayed clean for a year that I could... start back at the bottom.
You said mostly right.
Yeah. You said I was an addict. I still am. Always will be.
That's supposed to make me feel any more confident in your ability.
I don't really think he's an addict. D.B. Woodside joins us now at the table. Good morning.
Welcome.
Good to see you, David Brian Woodside, because I bet your mom's watching since she lives in New York.
My mom is probably watching.
We are very glad to have you at the table.
Yes, it's not like the name D.B.
Yes.
No, that's what people call me.
Yeah, D.B. Yeah. You know, listen, I plan to watch a couple of episodes, two or three. It's 10 episodes. I watch all 10 episodes because this show, this series is that good, and you are knockout in it.
No.
So bravo. It takes many twists and turns. That's what I liked about it. But you say of all the characters you played, and you played many, this one is closest to you. How?
Well, the role itself is just really kind of gritty, and it's about someone who is battling this drug addiction after doing something really great. And when I was much younger, I, you know, explored that area. And I think a lot of addicts sometimes use to kind of numb the pain of things that they're going through. But he has an amazing comeback story.
You did as
when I was much younger,
You were much younger.
Yeah.
But you say that you're an introvert.
Yes.
I said, how can you have this job and be an introvert?
I know.
Play the roles you play.
That surprises a lot of people, but it's a wiring of the brain, you know. Yes, there are a lot of actors that are extroverts, but there are quite a few of us that are introverts as well, which means we like to go to work, do our job, and then when the job is over, we need to go home to recharge before we can go back. So you're not going to see us out. You don't really see me
We're
out.
We're not going to see you at the parties.
You're not going to see me at the parties, no. Yeah,
it's basically turning on the light switch, right?
Yes.
When you go back to work, you flick it on, you're on, and you do your job, and people interact with you, and you interact with people.
Yes.
They think he's so great.
Yes.
And you go home, and you're like
exhausted.
Yes.
Exhausted.
So if you want to reach me, text.
Yes. That's it.
So to prepare for this role, you put out a call. You play a Secret Service agent. You put out a call on Twitter, I think it was, or on social media, to meet with any past Secret Service agents. Did you actually meet with any, and what'd you learn?
I mostly talked to people that had served. I talked to one ex-Secret Service agent. I talked to a guy that was in the Rangers, Noah Pandia. And I talked to my friend, Amy, who was on Lucifer. Her boyfriend served as well. And all three of those incredible men really taught me a lot and shared stories with me, and it really helped to get into the mindset of this guy.
They were fantastic.
Did you learn more about why, you know, to be a Secret Service agent, you have to take a bullet potentially for the person you're protecting? That is the job description.
It's actually not the person. Oh, you're not taking a bullet for the person. You're taking a bullet for the institution.
Amazing. Oh. Amazing.
And when you start thinking about it that way, it's very different.
Oh. I hadn't thought of it that way.
You're there to protect the institution.
Uh-huh.
Not
but
the
you're
individual.
Still taking a bullet.
Yeah.
You are taking a bullet.
You still could end up dead, like D-E-A-D, dead.
Yes.
So I want to go back to you being an introvert, because I'm so fascinated by you in terms of your idea of a perfect night in and how you view your job and how much you still like your job. What's your idea of a perfect night in for you?
Oh, my gosh. A perfect night in?
Asking
is,
for a friend.
Is having a glass of wine with a really good book. Or a great show that I haven't had the chance to see, to kind of binge watch that. And, you know, I'm fortunate enough to have a little gym at home.
A gym at home?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Work out. Maybe have one friend over and have dinner. Mm-hmm. Go for walks.
I need to change chairs with Tony. One over.
Yeah. Gail is basically got her little checkbook. She's like, uh-huh. Yes.
Does it have a treadmill and an elliptical and a rowing machine?
It definitely has a treadmill.
Okay, good.
Not a rowing machine.
Okay.
And not a elliptical.
Okay, well, we can work on that. And what else would we be doing? Just pretending here. You can use your acting skills at this moment.
All right. Do you like walks?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I
got some tennis shoes.
All right. I like walks through neighborhoods because I like to look at the different architecture of homes.
Mm-hmm.
I think it says a lot about an area.
Do you like dogs?
I love dogs.
Me too.
Absolutely love dogs.
Me too.
Do you cook?
Yes.
I try.
Ooh, gonna be ordering in. Okay.
I try, but I want to learn.
Gonna be ordering in. Yes.
How to get better?
Yeah.
So,
me too, Tony. Yeah. Yes.
When we go to commercial, we need one of those graphics of the heart that goes across the TV screen.
No, I'm commercial. Just kidding. I got so psyched about your show. All kidding aside, you were so good. The show is so good. And I can't wait for people to see it and see how good you are in it.
Thank you very much.
Cheering you on always.
Thank you.
Nice job. And we love Lucifer. And I loved you in The Temptations. Played Melvin Franklin.
I love The Temptations.
Did you?
I did.
I love The Temptations.
Wasn't that great, Gail? Wait, okay, sorry. We love it for different reasons.
Yes. I have a little pitch. This year is going to be the 25th anniversary of The Temptations, and I think it would be great for NBC to get us all back together again and talk about
it. Come back and bring some friends. Would your mother like me?
My mother would love you. I know for a fact my mother does love you. And I'm going to get a phone call.
Good to go.
I'm going to get a phone call in about 5 to 10 minutes. I'm telling you that right now.
Thank you, Phoebe. Thank you for coming. Nice to meet you, Mrs. Woodside. You can watch The Night Agent starting this Thursday. Am I on the right camera? I'm so confused. On Netflix.
The Emmy-nominated Ted Lasso star, Tohib Jamot. The actor just returned as the beloved character, Sam Obisanya, in season 3 of the Apple TV Plus series. And he stars in the upcoming Prime Video series, The Power, out next week. Anthony Mason met up with the 25-year-old in London. And Jimo talks about bringing a piece of himself, his Nigerian heritage, to his two biggest roles yet.
Is this where you used to play?
Yeah, man. We used to do football tryouts here.
Tohib Jamot took us back to his middle school field at the Norwood School. In the Brixton neighborhood of London.
I'm going to flop now because I'm on camera.
It's here he learned the moves that he shows off playing soccer star Sam Obisanya on Ted Lasso.
Take a bow, Sam Obisanya, the first hat-trick of his career.
You came to the part with some real experience, though.
Yeah, like I grew up playing football like my entire time through school. Football was the main sport around here.
Jamot never played professionally, but he did win a local school tournament.
I remember I went crazy and I used to wear my medal to school every single day for like the next 2 weeks.
From Norwood, Jamot went on to drama school. And a year after graduating, in 2019, landed his first film role.
What do you want to be?
A small part in Wes Anderson's The French Dispatch.
And you, Robichaud?
And then in pretty quick succession, in that same summer, I got Ted Lasso and The Power.
Crazy.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a whirlwind.
Today we have a very, very, very special guest, okay?
In the new Prime Video series, The Power, Jamot plays Tunde, a Nigerian journalist who discovers that a group of young women has developed a mysterious power to generate electricity through their hands.
In the first episode, you literally get a shock.
Yeah. It's a really mind-boggling thing. Like, it poses really dope questions about power and you know, who has it, who doesn't. Yeah, it poses really interesting questions about the power dynamics between men and women.
Has it changed much?
No, it's exactly the same.
Jamo discovered his love of acting here at Norwood.
It felt bigger when I was here, but I guess I was probably just little, you know?
This was your stage?
This was my stage. I did all of my rehearsals here, I did all of my performances here. Like, I lived in this room. This was like the birthplace of like me wanting to be a performer, me wanting to be an actor. This was my safe haven.
Oh God.
His courage to pursue it professionally was inspired by his instructors.
This is one of my teachers.
Hello.
Martin Blakelock. This is the man I used to like sit you down over here and just like yell Shakespeare at you.
I remember you did up there.
Yeah.
You did
Julius Caesar. Mark Antony.
Yeah.
Friends, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears.
That was one of the moments I thought, okay, we've got a chance here.
Jamo also introduced us to Marcus Condren, deputy head of performing arts at the school.
He says you changed his life.
That's very nice. Thank you.
Do you remember that time like you pulled me into your office and like you sat me down and you were like, I think you can be an actor.
Yeah.
Like, bro, that meant a lot to me. Hello. Oh my God, I always cry when I'm on the stage, bro. Genuinely, I had a really like profound impact on me and like I owe so much of what I'm doing now to you and I'm like just I can't thank you enough, bro, because you didn't have to, like you went above and beyond for me.
You're worth it.
And yeah, I appreciate you. I want to stop crying now, but
what did you see in him?
Do you know what? It's easy and it's hard to say at the same time. I think you see the talent and then it's, we always say to them, then the hard work comes. And he had plenty of that as well.
Yes.
So, you know, not always the best behaved at all points throughout his school journey.
Oh, do not. But he's a school hero now for his starring role in Ted Lasso.
Oh my God.
Sorry.
Sorry, Sam.
Miss Alton. Hi.
Call me Rebecca.
Rebecca, sorry.
In the last season, Sam's story took an unexpected turn when he began dating an older woman.
No. You are way too young. I mean, you're what, like 24?
I'm 21.
Oh my God, I'm a pedophile.
Did you know the romance was coming in season two?
No.
You didn't?
No, nobody told me about that. We were reading the script and I was like, I see.
The last time I spent this long in bed, it was because I strained a hamstring.
That older woman was team owner Rebecca Welton, played by the Emmy-winning Hannah Waddingham.
But Rebecca, there's something I should warn you of.
Yes.
I'm only going to get more wonderful.
I know.
Fans used to message me and be like, is there anything romantic or is it just platonic? And I was like, oh no, it's platonic. But like, I think what they hit on was that there is a connection between those two characters.
Yeah.
And yeah, I thought it was really, really special.
And you two were friends off screen as well.
Oh, me and Hannah, yeah. She's dope. She's a rock star, that woman. And I think that's why I also felt really comfortable about it.
When Sam faces a critical decision in season two, he looks in his locker at a photograph of his parents.
Those actually are your parents.
My real-life parents, yeah.
Yeah.
Sam and Tahib were like one in that moment.
Jamo's father and mother are Nigerian immigrants.
My whole life has kind of been about like where I fit in. I kind of felt like I fell in between being a British kid and being a Nigerian kid and never really felt like a part of either club.
Born in Britain, Jamo spent his early childhood in Nigeria, returning to London around age 7.
So your first memories are in Nigeria.
Yeah, my first accent was a Nigerian accent.
Yeah.
And so yeah, again, like it's really dope because I get to play two Nigerian characters in Sam and Tunde in what is actually my like first voice, you know? So I always find it really weird how now my career has taken me back to the thing that I kind of like got rid of to fit in, you know?
Yeah, must have made your parents proud though.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. My dad's one of the most stoic people ever. So like, I could do anything. I could win 14 Oscars tomorrow and he'd just be like, good. Do you know what I mean? He's good. Yeah, my mum always had an idea that I was going to be the UK's first black prime minister. Maybe I'll play him one day. Do you know what I mean? But that's not going to happen.
The next episode of Ted Lasso drops tomorrow on Apple TV Plus, and The Power premieres on Prime Video March 31st. I saw the first episode. It looks really promising. It's an exciting show. You know, the other thing that's really interesting about Taheeb is he was one of the few black kids from Brixton to get into drama school. That was a huge achievement in itself, and the school celebrated him for that. But as you see, he's made the most of it. It's that high-wattage smile of his, first of all, that just lights up the screen.
Number one, he seems like such a nice guy, and as your pieces often do, Anthony, it just touches on all the heart points. I love when he was with his coach.
Oh, yeah.
I love the storyline with him and Rebecca, of course, with the older woman and the younger man. I love that storyline.
Why do you love that storyline?
I just do.
I noticed you were very focused on that.
But to give us some insight into him, who he came from and what his background is, so nice.
It's so interesting, circling back to being Nigerian, because that was really tough for him. Being born in Britain, he thought of himself as British, but you know, he couldn't be seen as either one, in effect.
See, as nice as he seems, I know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, that moment with his coach,
he
literally took us to him. He wanted to introduce us to his coaches.
I've already seen the first episode of Ted Lasso. Can't wait for the new one.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it also. I'm also looking forward to The Power. I hear it's very good.
I really like it.
Anthony, thank you very much.
And we do thank you for listening. We'll be back tomorrow in your feed and Monday through Friday on your local CBS stations starting at 7 a.m.
Hey, Prime members. You can listen to CBS Mornings on the go ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Get one of the most successful broadcasts in television history on your schedule with the 60 Minutes podcast. Hard-hitting investigative reports, news, and culture maker interviews, and in-depth profiles are waiting for you in every episode. Listen to 60 Minutes ad-free on Wondery Plus.
Stephen Colbert here to tell you about the Late Show Pod Show, which is our podcast for The Late Show with my producer, Becca. Becca, how long have you been producing this podcast?
I've been producing this podcast for 2 years now.
And your favorite thing about it?
The extended moments, for sure.
Right, because sometimes I'll interview like a big star for 25 minutes, and we can only put like 14 minutes on air. Where can people get that?
On The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert, wherever you get your podcasts.
And who produces that?
I help out. It's a team effort.